Blog Talk Radio.
I see the light everywhere I go. Show me the way,
show me the way,
Lord, the way to go,
Lord, the way to go.
Show me the way,
show me the way
that will take me home,
that will take me home.
I can feel the holy fire burning in my soul, burning in my soul. I can feel this holy fire. Burning in my soul.
Yeah.
Welcome to Who Did It to You, Roundtable Discussion with Dr. James Jones and Brother Muhammad. This is Brother Muhammad, and welcome, peace and blessings, assalamu alaikum. Tonight we have an awesome show program for our people. But while we're waiting for a doc to get in here, let's go and take this commercial break and get this out of the way. So when he gets here, we can just jump right on in.
Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term at-risk youth by providing STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and entrepreneurship education through programs that encourage positive social development, increase educational opportunities, and economic security via media outlets. Our innovative TV show, Stay Focused Youth, is based on youth interviewing STEM professionals and business owners in their work environment. By becoming a youth, adult, or business member of the Just Us Youth Organization, you can receive discounted products and services from 33web.com. Receive free advertising for your business or organization through our many donation options. Sponsor a student e-portfolio that highlights academic achievement and talent, and have your logo displayed on their site as a supporter. As a sponsor, you can be interviewed on Stay Focused Youth TV, and you'll receive recognition and logo placement on our website and social media. We also provide a vehicle safety seminar and workshop, along with How to Extend Your Car Life book. If you would like to help our youth stay focused and inspired to become future leaders in the STEM and entrepreneurship field, or if you would like to purchase a How to Extend Your Car Life book, please contact the founder and president, Mr. Jonathan Smith, at 242-423-6539, at 701-639-0190, or email him at jesustv33@gmail.com. Find out how to get involved with a student e-portfolio today. Please visit our website at www.jes-us.org.
Apostle, assalamu alaikum. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, to whom all praise is due, whom we forever thank for giving us the most honorable and humble Elijah Muhammad as our divine leader, teacher, and guide. I want to put what I'm going to say to you on this tape for two purposes. Number one, I want to really apologize to you for having let you down, for the mistakes that I've made, especially during the past year. I want to confess my fault, confess my wrong.
He is a host on MSNBC and one of America's most prominent outspoken civil rights activists. And now Al Sharpton, along with Comcast and Time Warner Cable, are facing a $20 billion lawsuit over alleged racial discrimination against black-owned media companies. Now, in the complaint, Byron Allen, a comedian, TV presenter, and CEO of Entertainment Studios, alleges that Comcast gave Al Sharpton that 6 p.m. show on MSNBC, for which he's been paid approximately $750,000 per year, despite notoriously low ratings, and in exchange for his continued public support for Comcast on issues of diversity. Now, it all sounds kind of convoluted, and I want to get to the bottom of it. So joining me now in Los Angeles is Byron Allen. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you, Brian, for having me.
This case has been getting a lot of coverage this week. We've heard from Comcast, and I'll read their comment in a minute. But tell me the one-minute version of what you're alleging.
Real simple. The cable industry, AT&T, DirecTV, Comcast, Time Warner, they spend about $50 billion a year licensing cable networks and advertising with less than $3 million per year going to 100% African-American-owned media. Now, what they do is they make token donations to people like Al Sharpton, the NAACP, the Urban League, and after taking those donations, they negotiated a fraudulent MOU that says this is okay for black people to live by. What America needs to understand is that Al Sharpton does not speak for me. Al Sharpton does not speak for black people. It's like I ask people, who is the white person who speaks for you? It's racist to even believe that Al Sharpton is the go-to person. Shame on you, Sony, for thinking sit down with Al Sharpton and that negates your racist emails about President Obama. So it's real simple. These token donations they make to him, as reported in the New York Post, allows them to have racial cover. This is why we're not getting enough advertising or any advertising from McDonald's and Coca-Cola and Chrysler and General Motors and AT&T. They don't spend any money with African-American-owned media. Something that's very alarming, AT&T spent more money on Al Sharpton's lavish 60th birthday than they spent on Ebony Magazine, the biggest African-American magazine in America, around 70 years, 10 million readers per month. AT&T spent only $30,000 on that magazine. Walmart has given money to Al Sharpton. Walmart doesn't spend any money in Ebony Magazine, and they barely do business with me in a long-term partnership, and I'm constantly going back and forth with Walmart and Chrysler as well. So he is the least expensive Negro. Don't really do business
now,
with
you know
real African-American-owned companies.
Something like that sound. I mean, when you say that about Al Sharpton, are you saying he's
the numbers? The numbers
company?
Are actual. The numbers are just follow the money. That, you know, don't do business with real African-American-owned companies. Just make a token. Give him $50,000 and a bucket of chicken, and we're good. We won't have any problems with real African-American-owned media. You should not be Chrysler. You shouldn't be giving him money and not spending money with me and others like me and Stevie Wonder's radio station here in Los Angeles.
But aren't you trying to shake them down the same way by filing this lawsuit, which you know is not going to
succeed? No, no, no. Brian, let's define a shakedown. He doesn't give anything in return. I am a legitimate businessman. I am one of the largest independent producers of television and media in the world. I have 36 television shows on the air and 7 24-hour HD networks. They're not letting us participate in the $50 billion that they spend on licensing and advertising. There's a very big difference. He's the shakedown. I'm the legitimate entrepreneur. We have to make sure that
we're showing some of your programs right now, but let me read Comcast's response. I think it's really important to hear their side here. They say this complaint represents nothing more than a string of inflammatory, inaccurate, and unsupported allegations. We are proud of our outstanding record supporting and fostering diverse programming. They went on to say we will defend vigorously against the scurrilous allegations in this complaint, and we fully expect that the court will dismiss them. Now, Sharpton has not commented on the record. Do you have a question for him or a thing you'd like him to address about this?
No, Al Sharpton's not that. He's not important. He's nothing more than a black pawn in a very sophisticated white economic chess game. He's being used by his white masters at Comcast and AT&T. He just needs to shut up and get in the bleachers. What we have to do is get these corporations to understand you must include African-American-owned media. We have to stop the financial genocide against the black community.
You understand how offensive this all sounds to someone like Al Sharpton.
Well, you know, I'm not worried about his feelings. I'm more focused on getting corporate America to understand it's time to do business with us. And President Obama. President Obama has been bought and paid for. He has taken donations from Comcast. Comcast is his biggest contributor. AT&T is one of his biggest contributors. Listen, Obama, your own FTC is investigating AT&T for throttling. How can you even consider them to buy DirecTV when you're suing them? Is it because you took donations? Yes, Obama. Don't even think about letting them merge until they settle this lawsuit and that lawsuit. Comcast
so
got
me,
caught.
This
is important.
Your main issues here are about the mergers, Comcast, Time Warner Cable, and AT&T DirecTV.
No, Brian, let me be clear. My main issue is about economic inclusion for African Americans. You know, Comcast deployed software that slowed down video over the web in 2008. They broke federal laws. That's like me robbing a bank, and then after I get out on probation saying I want to be the president of the bank. Obama has to do more. I'm very proud of what Obama has done for the gay community. I'm very proud that he has achieved gay marriage. And if you can do that, you can achieve economic inclusion for all Americans, especially African Americans, who have been left the furthest behind. Obama, you bailed out the banks. The banks you bailed out don't even make commercial loans to African Americans. Obama, you bailed out the car companies. Those car companies don't advertise with people like me and people like Ebony Magazine. Obama controls close to $2 billion in advertising. Join the Army, join the Navy, join the Marines.
It sounds like
we as African Americans do not receive
consolidation. Yeah.
Brian, you're not hearing me. Brian, listen to me carefully. My concern
I hear what you're
is
saying.
That
you're
African
saying
Americans
that they're not advertising
were.
With independently owned media. These are issues about media consolidation, but I understand that you're making these racial points about how they affect African American communities and businesses. I do want viewers to know
just about
we read the Comcast statement, and we'd like to hear from Sharpton as well on this, and hopefully we can in the future. But, Mr. Allen, I do appreciate you being here this morning and telling us about the suit.
Okay, Obama, do the right thing.
All right. So that was Byron Allen. And we got a new twist on what is going on with Byron Allen and this suit that you were just hearing about. So the new part of it that I'm just learning about, you may have already known it. It goes back to, as he was saying, loss of Civil Rights Act of 1865. So this is what is... I guess this is the big piece of the chunk of the cake, because the Civil Rights Act of 1865 gave us the right to own property, gave us the right to, let me just go straight to it so I can give you the actual facts. Okay, so the Civil Rights Act of 1866 says that you can make contracts, you can sue and be sued, you can give evidence in court, you can inherit, you can purchase, lease, sell, hold, and convey real and personal property. So it guarantees you the right for all of these things that I just spoke about. So if he loses this case that's in Supreme Court, then we lose the right to own property, the right to write contracts and be a part of contracts. We lose the right to own property. So for all of us that own property, if he loses that case on November 13th, then that law goes away. It is taken off the books. So the question is, well, if the law is taken off the books, do you, do me, do we as a people lose the personal property that we own currently? We know that there was a time in American history where stuff like that happened, and they came through killing, and we abandoned property, and the crackers took it over. Now, here you have a law that's being abolished. What about our right to own property? What about our right to continue living the way we live? Do we lose that? So we're going to go and listen to Byron Allen explain this himself. Let's listen. Okay, hold on. Let me find where this is. Stop this. No. No. Okay. Let me go back to there.
But we are going to look at the Civil Rights Act of 1866, Section 1981.
Now, what is that exactly?
Yeah, great question. The Civil Rights Act of 1866 was put on the books after, so we were free pretty much December of 1865. And instead of getting what some historians believe, reciprocity, 40 acres and a mule, we got this law. We got this law, and basically it says we will have fair contract, economic inclusion in government contracting and in commercial contracting. Because they knew that the newly freed slaves, African Americans, were not going to be treated freely in commercial contracting and government contracting, and it was essential for us to be integrated into the financial fiber of America. So this law was put on the books 153 years ago to make sure we had an economic pathway for economic inclusion. 150, it's the very first civil rights statute in America. It gave birth to civil rights, and it is the civil rights statute that allows us to have economic inclusion and stop economic genocide. So what Comcast said, and the Ninth Circuit told them to get out of here with this, Comcast said, in order for you or Byron or anybody, any minority, to use this law, you must prove that the reason we discriminated against you, is 100% because you are black. The sole reason we discriminated against you, Charlemagne, is that you are 100% of the reason is that you're black. It could be 99% that you're black and 1% that you're wearing tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. And you can't use the law. You can't bring the lawsuit against me. So they're eviscerating it. They're making it impossible for you to use it.
Right.
Now, that is called the but-for standard. That is what Comcast and Charter, that's what they're pushing for. They're pushing for this civil rights statute to go away. Now, what the Ninth Circuit said in favor of black folks and all minorities, Hispanics, Asians, everybody, that it's not the sole reason, which is the but-for, it's the motivating factor. Okay. It's any part of the reason. If they discriminated against you,
it would be impossible for it to be 100%.
But there it is. It's impossible. So it can't be you. So if it's 20% or 30%, any part of the reason, now you can use it. So that is why we're in the Supreme Court. Now, here's what's happened. Comcast went and got what's known as an amicus brief, a friend of the court, got Donald Trump's Department of Justice to write them an amicus brief saying, yes, let's roll minorities back to 1865. Let's take those Negroes back to slavery. So I thought.
Oh, and they're actually putting that on the books?
The Donald Trump's DOJ wrote an amicus brief in favor of in favor of Comcast's position against us. And not only that, which we thought was unbelievable and hideous, something we've never seen. Comcast said, well, listen, we have 30 minutes in front of the Supreme Court. And Byron has 30 minutes in front of the Supreme Court. But you know what we're going to do, Comcast? This is what Comcast says. We're going to give 10 of our 30 minutes in front of Donald Trump's Supreme Court. We're going to give 10 of our 30 minutes to Donald Trump's DOJ. So now, on November 13th, we're standing in the Supreme Court in a Donald Trump era, where we've got Donald Trump's DOJ arguing against us to take the first civil rights statute and eviscerate it.
Hold on now, Mr. Allen. Now, given the makeup of the federal courts, aren't you concerned that this new case can undo civil rights for a whole generation?
It could take us back to 1865, all minorities.
So is it worth it?
I didn't petition to bring it to the Supreme Court. They did. They did. Right. And then what they did is they made what I consider, what I call institutionalized racism. They treat us like we are a bunch of monkeys.
But that's how they look at us.
That's right, looking for a banana. So here's what they say. Hey, Byron, drop the case.
Right, that's what they're trying to make you do.
Drop the case. Drop the case and we might meet with you. We might work with you. Now, that's a racist offer. That's a I think you're nothing more than a monkey, and here's a banana.
Now, I'm playing white devil's advocate here, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, shouldn't you want to kind of drop the case if it's going to set us back, generation back when it comes to civil rights?
No, because I didn't. First of all, we won in the Ninth Circuit twice. We won twice, and I didn't bring it to the Supreme Court. They brought it to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't come to us in a racist way, and you don't look at us like a bunch of monkeys looking for a banana, then you do it the same way you do it with all white people.
You just pay them.
No, you settle it up. You settle the case, and then it's dropped.
Right.
And so they didn't come
settle
to
me.
There's no offer of a settlement.
Whatever it is, you settle it up. But see, they never met with me.
Yeah.
And see, I asked them to meet with me, but why
they want
you
to drop it and then meet with, and then maybe meet.
That's
with
right. Them. Which is something you would never ask a white person to do.
Mm-hmm. Never.
So you never ask them. You never ask anybody white to do that. So here, when we asked them to sit with us, they said, "No, we're not going to sit with you." As a matter of fact, my government relations person went to the government relations person of charter, and he said, "You should sit with Byron to resolve this." And she said to him, "We don't negotiate with terrorists."
Whoa.
Okay, that's what she said. And he said, "You know what? I have a number of white clients who are much tougher than Byron, and you've never called them a terrorist." And I said, "There's the difference." Because
you should have said domestic terrorists.
Right? Because they look at us as, you're not equal. You don't
right.
sue me.
How dare you try to get something that you deserve?
All right, and how dare you sue me and use peaceful tactics? See, the offer is racist. Mm-hmm. Like, you drop it, and then I might sit with you, and we might work something out. So that's why you have to be really clear mm-hmm. that stop the institutionalized racism. Sit down, Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down, Charter. Don't jeopardize the civil rights of over 100 million people. These are folks that, you know, they're doing the wrong thing. And, you know, Senator Kamala Harris, she was phenomenal. She wrote an amicus brief in our favor, and she got Senator Cory Booker to sign it, Senator Blumenthal, Senator Wyden, and 8 members of the Congressional Black Caucus. 8. Unfortunately, only 8 out of 55. Now, I believe we as Black Americans, we have to ask the other 47 congressional leaders, why didn't you sign this amicus brief? If you want our money, you want our vote, why aren't you signing something to protect our civil rights?
How has the feedback been from existing civil rights leaders? What are they saying to you?
You know, Michael Lawson is amazing. He wrote a phenomenal letter saying to folks, hey, you know, he sent a letter to Brian Roberts and David Cohen of Comcast and said, this is wrong and you should sit down and don't challenge our civil rights. And a lot of folks are very upset. I mean, they have, they've taken the lever, which is bigger than me. It has very little to do with me at this point because they're challenging our civil rights.
Right.
Here's what will happen. Now, here's what will happen. You take away this civil rights. Now, someone can fire you and you can't get a lawyer. That's the reason why the Chamber of Commerce gave them an amicus brief, because they didn't want their businesses to be sued. So now somebody can – now you can't get a lawyer to take your case on contingency because it's hard to prove that 100% of
right.
the reason you were discriminated
damn
against.
Damn near impossible.
Damn near impossible. So they don't want that law there to be used. So I say the moment people can discriminate against you and you can't hold them accountable, I say 3 words. Welcome to hell.
Wow.
Welcome to hell. And it's you have to ask, why are you doing this, Comcast? Why are you standing in the United States Supreme Court physically with Donald Trump's DOJ trying to eviscerate this civil rights statute? Have respect. Sit down with me, and let's work it out. And this goes away.
Is it true that Comcast executives told someone at your company they're not trying to create any more Bob Johnson?
That is what someone told us. Absolutely. Wow. That is, hey, look, we'll think about it. Who has created wealth in this country that didn't come from entertainment for the most part? It's very hard. You have a, you know, on it, like, you can count on one hand. On one hand.
You mean black people or just
black
people?
Okay. Yeah, black. You know, outside of sports and entertainment and your own talent, you know, that's
we're all. We're not in the pharmaceuticals and the
right.
tech. And
there it is. There it is. And that's why this lawsuit is important, because you need to protect this. Because what historians believe, this was our reciprocity. This is your pathway. You have to protect this law. You know,
I want to set this up for you in a nice button because I know people will take this, right? And I know you got to go.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I got plenty of time. I'm here to hang out with you. I've been looking
he
forward
said
to
meeting.
I don't have a meeting. I'm good.
He said, I'm good. I make my own rules.
I make my own rules.
I
like hanging out with you. You kidding me? I want to come hang out with you a lot more. I love that.
But why is this such a special case? And in your opinion, why should we be so informed about it?
It's a very special case because it's the original Civil Rights Act in America. It's about protecting our economic inclusion. If we don't have economic inclusion, then you're done. If you are poor and black and don't have an education in America, they will treat a stray dog better than you. As a matter of fact, there are more animal shelters than there are homeless shelters. And so you can't live like this. You have to have access to a proper education. Mm-hmm. You have to have access to economics that can really get you to be a part of the American financial fiber.
Absolutely.
And so this law was designed to give us a pathway to that. This is now being taken away. This is one of the first time the acting Solicitor General, the Attorney General, is standing in the United States Supreme Court to roll back our civil rights to a point where we can't use them.
So what can we do? How can we help?
You can.
What kind of ruckus can we make?
You know what? Great question. First, having me here is fantastic, and thank you. Know what you're up against. This is one of those. They get you in the courtroom, and you don't even know about it.
And you can't normalize things like this.
You can't. That's right. You
because
can't.
We've been so normalized with things that have been going on with Donald Trump.
That's right.
That.
Okay. So we were just listening to Byron Allen in his interview that he did on the Breakfast Club about what is going on with his case against Comcast and Charter. Now, here you heard him talking about the 1866 Civil Rights Act and that only 8 members of the Congressional Black Caucus actually signed on to the thing that the brief that that Kamala Harris wrote. Now, so it says, according to Deadline, among those who have lent their voice in protest include presidential candidates Senator Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, and Representative Ayanna Pressley from Massachusetts, Karen Bass, Joyce Betty. Non-CBC members include Senator Richard Blumenthal and Ron Wayne. Let's see. As members of Congress, the AMIC have a strong interest in ensuring that the laws Congress has passed are interpreted in a manner that is consistent with their text, history, and Congress plan in passing them. The brief continues, the court should not rewrite Section 1981 and disturb the vital process that Congress passed this statute to provide. Now, mind you, one thing that's very interesting about this statute is that the president vetoed this statute not once, but twice. And so it took a 2/3 majority from both the House and the Senate to finally get it passed.
And that was a Republican House and Senate too. You know what gets me on these arguments? Donald Trump ain't got anything to do with this. Matter of fact, that requirement came way before he even got into office, where you have to show that you are the direct target of whatever discrimination or racism you're talking about. But here's the problem. I got a list here of 40, well, that 35. Congressional Black Caucus members who did not sign the amicus brief that Brian Allen put forth. That, in fact, lies your problem. And you know why come? You know what this list is showing? is showing the amount of money that these Congress people have been receiving from Comcast since 2008.
Mm.
What state you in? Maxine Waters been receiving over 17 grand. Maxine Waters. You got L.C. Hastings, $30,500. Frederica Wilson out of Florida. She received money from them. What state you in?
North Carolina? I'm in Illinois. Illinois.
You got Danny Davis, Kelly Robin, Bobby Russ, and Lauren Underwood have received money from Comcast. So quite naturally, they're not going to go against them. Huh?
Bobby Rush didn't sign it?
No.
Wow.
You got Danny Davis. He's been in office for 20 damn years. Let's see here. Kelly Robbins, 6 years. Bobby Russ, 26 years. Lauren Underwood, 1 year. And that's the four people from Illinois. But there, in fact, lies your problem. And here's another thing. Where's the boycotts at? You boycott every other damn thing. Where's the boycotts that's being called? Now, I don't think I disagree with him. They always want to throw it up and make it a real political issue and say it's Trump's fault. Trump ain't had jack to do with this. This was going on way before this man even got in office. And, you know, that's another thing.
True.
Blacks need to cut that stuff out, I think, because what you're doing, you are causing a division between somebody who would otherwise sympathize with your plea. Now, I sympathize with his plea, but I don't like the way he's keep drawing the issue on Donald Trump. Now, so what am I supposed to do? I'm getting to the point where I only support those of my interest. I'm not supporting people that goes against my interest. I'm stopped doing that stuff. The heck with it. I'm keeping my money in my pocket. My volunteering time is going to be more direct. And I think others should do the same thing. And it don't have to be a Republican or a Democrat. I'm talking about interest. I have voted for Democrats. Matter of fact, I have voted for Democrats for a long time. Then I became more smart at it and only vote for those who, you know, is pushing the interests of mine. And in the case of Missouri, it's only a few things. Well, in Missouri, it had to do with schools more than anything else.
Well, let me ask you this, because as we stated earlier, if he loses this case in the Supreme Court and they do away with that law, what happens next?
Well, he loses his position, what he's trying to pull with him. What you need to have is a public outcry, a consumer outcry. People that's dealing with Comcast need to leave him alone.
No,
that's the way you hurt businesses.
Right, but the law that Comcast is challenging, right, that 1866 law, is the law that gives us the right to own property, gives us the right to sue in court, gives us the right to inherit and to own. It gives us all these rights. All right.
Well,
now,
that's not
going to
do
owner,
away with that. That's not going to do away with that. The case that they're arguing is one specific thing, and he's trying, and I really don't know the ins and outs of the case. Somebody else may be able to come on and explain that a little bit more to me than I can. But I understand that they would not carry some of his content, and I think that's what brought it all about. There needs to be some black cable companies, which is real hard to do. You ever read a book called Cable Comes to South Central? An anatomy of a hustle. Cable comes to South Central. That goes all the way back in the early 90s when cable started coming up. And you read in that book and you see how blacks was notorious in that industry. What was the guy's name that was out there in Los Angeles? Bradley. Wasn't that Bradley?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They talk about him. They talk about another woman in there also. I can't think of her name. But businesses control the politics. And Kamala Harris received about $80,000 from Comcast from last time I checked. And, you know, that's just the way it is. She's trying to get votes. She ain't going no place. I mean, that woman, see, here she is doing this on this end, but what she's doing on the other end with the criminal justice system. I mean, it's very difficult, Maurice. It's very difficult. You got members of the swamp that's Democrats. You got members of the swamp that's Republican. I mean, those Republicans that resigned in 2016 because they knew they had some challenges. They in on this shit too. I mean, that's just the way it is. Well, it's the way it is, but it don't have to be that way. But unfortunately, it is that way because lack of education, astuteness within American public. American people are dumb for a big part. To what extent it goes, it's hard to say. But, you know, this stuff of trying to denigrate Donald Trump, I think is just totally, is it called black issues are being addressed by this man more so than they ever was. So wait a minute. Here's the thing. He's gonna get rich off of this, right? But how about the other issues? You're talking about, right? So how about he's gonna get richer? So how about the other issues that is helping small businesses, black businesses, black concerns? You know, it's helping American concerns, but blacks are also being the benefactors of many of these things this man has put forth. So do he get, it ain't going to, and I think that they're throwing these doom and gloom issues out there about it's going to take, it ain't going to take away nothing. This is your issue. And as far as the requirements that you have to prove to a greater extent or to a particular extent that the discrimination was directly toward you. I mean, apparently that's not hard to do. We just had a guy in St. Louis County Police Department sued for $20 million for discrimination, and he was awarded it. You had another woman at Harris Stowe University just within the last year or so, a couple of years, sued for discrimination and won $5 million. And this is a white woman that was being discriminated against by blacks in Harris Stowe because they promoted other blacks over her. This guy in St. Louis County Police Department was openly gay, and whites discriminated against him. So
yeah,
I know about that one. Yeah, I hope that he's successful, but I don't think he should be. You know, every other excuse is talking about the Donald Trump this, the Donald Trump that.
You know,
heck with that damn
stuff.
That,
you know, I don't know whether or not. I don't know whether or not Donald Trump knows about it. I would hope that he does know what his Justice Department is or isn't doing. But I think for the Justice Department to write that brief on the behalf of Comcast, I see that as problematic. Me personally, I think they should have just stayed out of it and mind their business and let them two battle it out. And whoever wins, so be it. You know, I've asked a few people about this civil rights thing, and what do they, if they're lawyers and judges, what do you think? And everybody said, well, it's highly unlikely that somebody, you know, you're going to lose your right, your property rights and this, that, and the other thing. But at the end of the day, their final answer was, I don't know. The reality is nobody really knows what will happen if he does lose it. Nobody really knows what would actually happen next. The way I look at it, they took the Japanese land and put them in camps, you know, so anything is possible. But I know that, you know, they come to my house and take what we don't, try to take what they, what we don't, and this is going to be a serious problem. That's just not going to happen. Not going to happen at all. But this shows us, or it should, at least it does show me, that we really need to be paying attention to what is actually going on and being able to separate the real from the false and not allow these idiots to be in front of us saying that, okay, yeah, they represent us. Like, Al Sharpton doesn't represent me. He doesn't represent me. He doesn't speak for me. Nothing. Me and that nigga ain't even friends. Even if I knew him, me and him still wouldn't be friends. But yet, according to quote unquote the way it is, he represents all black people. And that's just bullshit. It doesn't happen. It's not reality. It's not
Where's the football? Where's the kneeling on the football field? I mean, is this not a case? Where is all these other protests? I think that if it should be anything that would be affected, it would be a protest, a boycott of Comcast. People need to cancel their subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
That is, if they feel like they should. That's the only thing I can see. Trump's not going to get involved, because as soon as Trump got involved with the Justice Department, they're going to say that he's interfering with something. I mean, that's not his responsibility. How long has this been going on?
This has been going on since Obama was president.
All right, then why come Obama didn't do anything? That's the thing that pissed me off. And I get sick and tired of that stuff myself. And some people like it, but I get sick and tired of that. Just trying to divide people along political lines. Let me, if they're going to be, if they're going to exist along political lines, that's their business. But now you're basically telling those who support this person that there's something wrong with them. Well, what come you didn't tell those who supported Obama that it was something wrong with him, with them at the time? Look at this thing here with these people being killed in Mexico, these Americans. Well, did the cartels use weapons that were provided by Eric Holder in his Fast and Furious scheme?
Well, even the thing about that, and I don't know why the news is not being truthful, but those people, those Mormons and the cartels have been fighting each other for years. This ain't nothing new. There's videos on YouTube where the Christian Mormons fighting the cartel people. So I don't know why they're blowing this up like, oh, out of the clear blue sky, these Americans got killed. The Mormons got guns shooting at the cartel. Cartel got guns shooting back at them. Simple as that. They've been doing this for years. This ain't nothing new. But yet they're blowing it up to make it seem, oh, wow, oh, Americans are being targeted. Bullshit. That's just not real. That's just not real. And I would have expected at least Fox News to be honest and say, this is the real deal. I knew MSNBC and all them wouldn't do it. I at least expected Fox to be able to do it. But it seems as though nobody out there in the media is going to tell the truth. That this is what war is. This is what war is. the Mormons decide to go down there to take land and say this is what they're going to do, and they didn't want no drugs, and the cartel say, oh, really? Or we going to fight? And they've been fighting for years. This ain't nothing new.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that you kill some kids, which are American citizens. And regardless of what the daggone argument is, they're still American citizens being killed by, with other words, a criminal element there in Mexico. And that there, you can't let this stuff go on. I mean, just to see how Donald Trump's going to sell that.
Well, I would really hope he leave it alone. Really, I would really hope him to just leave it alone.
Well, Tupac's cousin, who was, didn't his cousin or brother or somebody get killed in Mexico too?
I don't know. I've never heard of anything like that.
Oh, Malcolm X's.
Yeah, Malcolm X's grandson got killed in Mexico, but that's not the fight of the United States government, because a citizen took themselves to Mexico to be around people he shouldn't have been around in the first place, and they killed him.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
that's not,
I don't
that's
know.
Not the
I,
role
I,
of
I think
government.
It's a bad presence when American citizens go to other countries and you have elements or government-sponsored killing of them. But that's just me.
You know, all of that is just, at the end of the day, the Mormons decided to go to move their ass to Mexico and to stake out their own land, and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. It comes with it. It comes with it. You're not indigenous to the land. You don't own it. You don't own it. I mean, they should be happy that they survived this long being in there. I mean, they really should be happy about that. But hey, this is what happens. And it's not nothing new, and it's not nothing that, you know, the military need to be called up to go out and do, because it's not. This is something that they chose to do. This is something that they chose to do, so let them fight it out down there amongst it. We got other issues that's more important that really needs to be decided, and what needs to happen. This needs to happen, because I think very clearly this whole impeachment foolishness, all this whole impeachment, because you can't beat the man in the damn voting box, so now you got to go do this because of what? Quid pro quo? That's how foreign policy is operated, period. When they came up with the damn Iran agreement, it was, you do this and we'll do that. If you don't do this, then we're going to do that. Quid pro quo. It's just that simple. Now, why they're blaming it, he said to go after, to investigate. If Biden's son wasn't guilty, he'd have never brung his ass on TV and made the statement that he made. I mean, I don't understand why it's hard just to fucking tell the truth and move on. Just tell the truth and move on. Could we be right now?
Look at what Obama did.
We could have at least had the wall halfway built.
Yeah. Look what he done with Liberia, Kenya, Nigeria, Hillary, and Zambia. What was it that Kenyatta told Obama? What was it that the president of Liberia, Sharif, told them regarding homosexuality?
Exactly. Exactly.
Obama, when Nigeria was seeking technology so that they could better handle Boko Haram,
mm-hmm.
By the way, he was getting weapons that was infiltrating into Nigeria, which was the offal of the Liberia, I'm sorry, not Liberia, but Libya cash, when they killed and overthrew the Gaddafi government. He wanted to quote Nigeria's human rights, based on the fact that they wouldn't allow open gay in their country, open up to same-sex marriage, open up to abortion on demand. And if they did, they don't get the carrot, the weapons. And then when they try to go to Brazil and seek out jet planes that was made by, I can't pronounce the name of the company, start with a B, Obama told Brazil, don't sell them. He told Israel, don't sell them. So what is that, Maurice?
Quid pro quo. Same thing to go on right now.
Yeah, damn right it is. So when you have a, and see, here's another thing too. These teachers' unions getting heavily involved into these politics because they want things to stay the way it is. Well, if things stay the way it is, and I'm just talking about black and African American children, they are not being educated.
No, they're
not. The greatest extent. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they're not being educated, Maurice, how in the heck are they going to be able to critically analyze what's going on in the politics?
Mm-hmm.
So now, mm-hmm. what do you have? You just have a continuation of ignorant people. They don't know what's going on, and they're reacting to mm-hmm. what sounds good. That's exactly what you have. Exactly what you got. And you got black folks up there in Congress that want it to stay the way it is. Old Milk Dud Cummins is on this list.
Mm-hmm.
23 years in Congress in 2012. No, 2018. And he received money from this company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Volkswagen has been selling cars here in this country for a long time. You know that, don't you?
Right.
But guess who would never buy a Volkswagen?
Who's that?
Them Jews.
Oh, Jews? Yeah,
yep.
Jews.
They would never, and I don't think they even buy them today, they would never buy a Volkswagen. Because Volkswagen was complicit in what went on during World War II. So I don't know what to tell you, man. I like to say this, though. People talk about slavery. A slave is the weakest of the weak. You got caught.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, so if we're talking about a passing down of genetic genes, which I don't buy into that totally, if that's the case, my grandson would be hitting home runs like I was when I was his age. Then that's what you got. But I don't buy into that. I think that they got a system going on with the schooling of black kids. And they can't never get past that hump. It's a shame. It is a total shame. I don't know what to say.
It's horrible.
That's what Claude Anderson tell you, that the businesses control the politics. Well, blacks will never get to the point where they control the politics like they should. All they do is vote.
Well, we have to. We have to. We have to. If we're going to get what we deserve, then we have to. Still ain't nobody going to give you nothing. If you don't have the ability to take what you want, then you're not going to get anything. You're gonna get what people give you. And, you know, the free handout age is done. It's over with. It's done and it's over. So there has to be a shift in the way that we understand politics and the way that we relate to politics. There has to be a shift, because this is, you can't sustain this and then, you know, talk about, you know, the Black Americans' future, Black people's future. They don't have none. If you're going to stay in this current course, I mean, there is no way in the world that any high school should be having children graduate who can't even read their diploma that they have in their hand. No way. But this is going on. And evidently, this ain't the first year. This probably been going on for many, many years in Baltimore. And if it's going on in Baltimore, where else is it? Where else is it going on? There's a fundamental failure when it comes to Black families. There's a fundamental failure, period. Now, we talked about this last time. You got a parent who gonna blame the school when it's your responsibility. You're the mama. You're the first teacher. How you gonna look off and blame the school? Because she don't want to look at herself. Where's daddy? Where's his responsibility? So, you know, it's a lot of changes that have to be made. We don't have, you know, a choice. We have to make this switch. We have to make this turn. We have to do it. We just have to. We're in America where they're saying by 2040, you know, whites will not be in majority in this country. So the next majority is going to be, quote unquote, according to the numbers, is going to be the Mexicans. It's going to be the Mexicans. So if we cannot think that, oh, they're Mexicans, so now they're on our side. No, they're on their own side. They're going to do what's in their interest. They're going to care about what their stuff is. And we have to wake up and start understanding that nobody gives a damn about what we've been through. They don't want
to
hear.
No, they're not sensitive to that, Maurice.
Mm-mm. No, they're not.
And I'm going to tell you something. The Mexicans have, look, if we can say that there's post-traumatic slave syndrome, well, hell, you can say the same thing about the Mexicans getting their butt kicked in the Mexican-American War. They still
mm-hmm.
pissed off over that, too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So they
Mexicans,
that all this,
Mexicans are just coming out of primitiveness with the Pueblo Indians and Aztecs. That's who Spain conquered. Spain conquered
mm-hmm.
them. Those primitive living, still living people. You still got Africans that still live primitive. I mean, it is
mm-hmm.
what it is. Go down in South America,
exactly.
They still live primitive in the Amazon. So that was Spain that conquered them. That was
mm-hmm.
Spain that went to war against the Indians, who was still doing what? Living primitive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some point in time, you got to get away from that. If not, you're going to get trampled over. I mean, it is what it
right.
is. I know it sounds harsh, but I mean, that's just the way it is. And then you had
yeah.
Indians fighting against Indians. And then they got enough
mm-hmm.
sense to know, hell, these bow and arrows ain't doing it. But look, some white folks got rifles. The Spanish has
mm-hmm.
got guns.
Mm-hmm.
So they collaborated with the Spanish for whatever they wanted to get some better modern fighting weapons so they wouldn't be getting their butt kicked all the time.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I really think that if the our ancestors that were slaves can come back and see that, you know, as a people, we have not taken full advantage of the things that we should have. And we rely too much on somebody to give you something that they have no will. And what it made you into a little baby that keep crying because you won't get your bottle. Instead of you understanding what it is to be a grown-up and to go pick what you want. When they were freed from slavery and they built those 67, 68 cities and towns, they just did it. They did what they had to do.
You're right. They did do that. We always have been a certain element within the society, the population, that did things like that. Then you have some that just didn't do it. But the thing that I keep harping on, in 2019, it is totally unacceptable that you got children coming out of these high schools and can't read and write like you made mention, can't do math. So where are they going to go? How are you going to have more doctors? Well, let's put it like this. Then we complain about the disparity in wealth. Wealth is accumulated by income. Well, hell, if you ain't got an income that allows you not to spend all of it every pay period, that goes toward what? Your wealth.
Yep.
So we don't have people that's in these things, in these areas. Well, they're not going to be able to have that income. Now, you're damn right, there's still racism and stuff. But hell, we got mechanisms that's supposed to be able to fight against that.
Exactly.
You got 50-some-odd Congress people as black, because I know they all ain't on this, but they should be on one thing, is that you are there to do things to make it better for your young people. You know, once you get old, like myself and like you, I'm not going back to work. You know, I done all those things. And I was lucky, I guess you can say. We all was lucky. But heck, our children should be able to do better than we can. My children are, you know. But I have concerns about these other children, Maurice. I don't have to, but I do. It's not why, it's that the fact is that I do. And I'm telling you to a dime to a donut, the people that give more resistance are black folks. Ain't no white folks, even no place around. The black folks that give resistance to you doing things. And I tell you what they give resistance is from the people realizing that they got the power to make those changes. That's what a resistance is. That is what a resistance is. When you try to tell these folks and show them, Maurice, that they got the power to make these changes, and they should be, then that's what a resistance is, right there. And they will fight you tooth and nail. See, conservatives don't know how to fight. That's why you need to have more black ones in there. Black folks know how to fight. They may not know what the hell they're fighting for, but they do know how to fight and raise hell. And if you ever taught them and showed them what it is that they're fighting for, then I think you would make a change. You got to get blacks out of that political mess that they in. They got to start looking at things different. And I think there's only two ways that you can do that, through education and elevating them in their economic status here in the United States.
I definitely agree.
Hey, if you wouldn't have built your own community or nation, you still got to have people with the capability of providing the skills and the strategies on how to make that into a viable nation. In the long run, you got to be able to defend it. Now, how the hell are you going to do that? Where is the professor at tonight?
Well, he has this other class that he got to teach, so he gets out of there late.
Yeah.
He gets out late. Yeah, so he'll be joining us sometime in this second hour. So, you know, I called up the group that Candace Owens used to work for. And, you know, I told them, I said, well, if you're trying to get black people to join the Republican Party, the girl that you have out there, Candace Owens, is not doing that. She's not a good spokesperson. She don't know what the hell she's doing. The issues that she talks about and the way that she talks about it is just pure foolishness. If you cannot appeal to what the people need, okay, I told them, I said, look here. You have people that voice black power, black power, black power, black power. When you talk to them about their politics and you listen to what they talk about, they're not liberal. They're not on the Democratic plantation. Those are the ones you need to be targeting and explaining, and so that they can understand you and you can understand them and have a meeting in the middle of the road.
You actually talked to somebody?
I sure did. I sure
Damn,
did.
What telephone number did you call?
Yeah, I forgot what number it was, but yeah, it took me a while.
What's the name of the organization?
What is it? It is the, let me pull it back up. It's not the RNC. It's not that it's another thing outside of that. Oh, let's see. Turning Point USA.
All right. I'm going to try to. Who's talking to somebody and just answer the phone when you talk to somebody that has some clout?
I don't know if dude had any clout or not. The secretary transferred me over to his office, and I just told him, and he said he would pass it on. So I don't know whether he is or not. But at the end of the day, I told him if he'd take my advice, then they will be able to make some headway. But if you don't and you keep letting that idiot say what she's saying, you ain't going to make no headway. You ain't going to make none whatsoever. None. Because I took this test. Me, and you remember Shanez, right?
I don't know if I do or not.
Well, she used to have a Monday program on the network. And always a single parent mother, da da da. But I took the test. It was a political test. And I told her to take the test. Now, when I took the test, it came out that I was a Republican, a Tea Party Republican. She took the test. And it came out she was a Republican. So I asked her, do you agree with the test? And she was like, well, yeah, it asked me what my values are. And I said, this is what it is. I believe in, you know, your own schools, your own businesses, being able to do this, that, and the other thing. So I said, right. Now, you're not going to be able to accomplish that for whatever reason. And I don't know, but the Democratic Party does not want you to be able to do that. So whatever the reason is, I don't know what the reason, but they don't want you to do that. And I'm not praising the Republican Party either. But what I am saying is that we have to have enough common sense to know that something ain't working, and we have to figure out our own conclusion of how to get it to work in our favor. It's like I'm talking to closed ears, because everybody that I had this conversation, it's like go right on over their heads like I didn't say anything, and they go right back to that same point. Why we can't get this? Why we can't get this? Why we can't get this? Nigga, because you keep begging. Keep begging. You ain't going to get nothing that way. And it seems as if that's the sphere that I want to stay in. And I don't understand.
Well, I'm not no Republican now. I consider myself as a conservative because I keep telling you, it's a lot of Republicans ain't no damn good. Look at Virginia. They let 38 Democrats run unopposed. What kind of crazy mess is that?
Exactly.
Then you had all those that resigned just before the last election, 2018 election. I mean, at least you could have stuck around. But they hate Trump, too. They hate Trump, too. Now, why is it that they hate Trump? Because he's bringing to light a bunch of stuff, like this list of Congressional Black Caucus members that's receiving money from Comcast, like the Congressional Black Caucus members that's receiving money from NEO and Core Civic, which used to be Prisons of America or something like that, the private prisons industry. Like I told you before, Jews did not drive Volkswagens. Blacks only make up 13%, 11 to 13% of the population. That's everybody, men, women, babies. All right, so but if you break it up to where you got people that's in the workforce from 18 to, say, like 64. Of course, you know you get 64, you're ready to retire anyway. But if you say like 18 to like 35, you got less. You only talking about a few people. It's not that 30, 40 million of them. You only talking about a few people. And those few people, the majority of them, should not be in poverty, Maurice.
Exactly.
And if what's been going on forever, and the results are, is that the majority of that few is in poverty, well, hell, something's wrong with that.
Exactly. Oh boy, these people—they really make me.
And you know, we both get aggravated. I get aggravated and get to arguing with you and Professor. I really feel sorry about doing that because we're trying to work for the same thing, but people get aggravated sometimes.
That's true. That's true. Well, we're in a pickle, and we need to be able to get out of it. In fairness, we need to be able
now,
to get out of it.
We all would like to have a stadium full of people, a seat there, 100,000 that you can work on, but that just ain't gonna happen neither.
No,
if you can't have access to if you need to have your schools, but it's not going to be in public schools, I can tell you that now. You can make public schools somewhere better, but overall, they're not going to give you what you need to have. If that was the case, we wouldn't be here talking about this today.
Exactly.
But you got to have a mechanism. Wait, you can prepare your young people for what's in demand. If not, they're going to bring in these immigrants.